Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? I tell you, it's just, honestly, I'll tell you this, because everybody's here today. Say, yeah, I'm here. Amen. I don't know how people go without being in church. I just don't know. I just don't know how they make it. Honestly, they don't make it. That's just how it is. I mean, sometimes we have to miss, whatever, work and whatever, that's different. But I don't know. Because you see, God has put the local church, and He knows what's best for the people. But we do want to welcome you here today, and thank you for being in church this morning and letting the Spirit of God just touch your heart and touch your life. And I pray that He restores back unto you what the cankerworm or what the enemy has tried to steal from you. And that he gives you back what is rightfully yours and more. Not just what He stole. He has to pay back what He's stolen from us. Amen. But God is a restorer of souls to the people. A restorer of souls to the people. We do want to welcome everyone here. And we do want to thank you for your tithe and offerings to the church. And last week, tithe and offerings was $719. So thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being faithful to the church. And just, thank you for giving of, what God requires. And so we ask that the blessings of God to be upon your family. Would you just lift your hands as we pray over you this morning? Father, Lord, I just come before you this day. And Lord God, you've seen what they have given unto you, Lord God. And Father, I pray the blessings of God in their obedience to be upon their families, Lord. Father, Lord, I pray that your peace would be upon their lives, Lord God. That you would restore their families. You would restore to the husband and the wife and the children, Lord God. You would be with them and you would help them to accomplish what you desire and want them to do. And Father, you would meet all the needs, wants, and desires of their lives, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Also, just a matter of note to you. I just want to bring this up just to make sure. Nursery ages. We do have a nursery here, and the nursery ages are from 0 to 3. Okay. I know everybody wants to be in the nursery because there are snacks and there's toys. Yeah. So everybody, hey, I want to go in there sometimes, but I'm a little above 3, so. But, parents, please help us in that avenue. I know, especially with small kids being in there, it's kind of hard with older kids being in there. And so from 0 to 3, and in children's church is from 4 to whatever age, 12, 13, whatever. And so, but just kind of work with us. Miss Johanna back there is over the nursery, and we certainly do appreciate her and in doing it and giving of her time in that area. So any questions about that? No? Amen. Amen. Well, children's church workers and kids, if you would stand, we're going to pray for y'all. Father, Lord, I pray for the workers and the kids this morning. And Father, I pray, Lord God, as the teaching is being taught, that, Lord, that the Spirit of God would rest upon them. Those kids, that they would understand the word, Father. And Lord, help the workers to teach under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. Be with them and help them this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The kids and the workers, you may go. Otis, you mind walking across the street with them? Amen. Oh, okay. You got lost. Don't eat the snacks in the children's church. Amen. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. And we don't know what's wrong with this one, huh? It's something what up there? Let's try. You can be seated. We have Leonard, that's going to be Mr. Leonard, that's going to be speaking this morning a little bit about the Gideons. You can come on up, Leonard. He's a representative of the Gideons. I told him he had 1 minute. You got to give out what you can in 1 minute. We timing you. No, I was messing with him. But we certainly do appreciate him. And, you know, the Gideons are a very good, godly organization. They put Bibles, you know, everybody has stayed in the motels, hotels, and all that stuff. You look in the drawer, there's a Bible, the Gideons. Free of charge. I mean, those, the ones that own the motels and hotels, they don't have to pay for those Bibles. It's given to them. And so, you know, we certainly do appreciate all the Bibles that are given. And even in public schools, there, I think it's fifth grade or so, they give Bibles to whoever will take it. And so we certainly do appreciate the word going forth. And so would you welcome Mr. Leonard?
I don't need it.
You didn't want the mic. I told him he has to. We record. I want to know what he said.
Good morning. My name's Leonard Smith. I'm with Jeff Davis, Acadia Parish, International Gideons Association. And we crossed the boundary a little bit, but Vermilion Parish gave us Gadon and Kaplan. So anyway, I'm happy to be here this morning. And before I start, I have three items here I'm going to show you. And at the end of my presentation, I'll tell you what these three items have in common. I have this Bible, this golf ball, and these three nails. And they all have one thing in common. And at the end, I'll tell you what they are. You might say, who are the Gideons? We're a Christian business and professional. We're an extended missionary arm of this church. It's churches like this that make it possible for the Gideons to distribute God's word. And we have Bibles in hotels, motels, jails. The schools that let us in, we pass Bibles out to the fifth graders. Vermilion Parish does not let us go into schools. I talked to a principal, and he told me if I brought the Bibles to his school, he would throw them in the trash. So we don't go in Vermilion, but Jeff Davis and Acadia, they're very receptive to letting us go into schools and put God's word. And I think I have something to prove that God's word. My brother is principal at a school in Mermentau, 37 years now. And we can go in Jeff Davis and Acadia and put Bibles. Vermilion, we can't. Well, their school board every year is, they're in the red, in the red. My brother told me, he said, in Acadia Parish, they have a surplus of $20 million in their school board. And I was sitting at the house one day. I was thinking about that. And the Lord, all he said was one word, the Bibles. And I told my brother that, and he told the superintendent that. He said, my brother said it's because we get to put God's word into schools. And I believe that. It's that if you can get God's word in your schools, we'd be better off, I think. And I'd like to read a verse out of Isaiah 55 and 11. It says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper into the things whereto I sent it. And I'll show you some of the Bibles that we distribute. These are the hotel Bibles. These are the ones that we put in the hotels and motels. And it's getting to where some places, they won't let us do that anymore. And if we get to put ours, then they have to also put the Quran in and different, anybody else that wants to put Bibles. And these are $5. This Bible has a lifespan of 6 years and the potential of reaching 2,300 people in its lifetime. And like once a year or twice a year, the Gideons will get together and go different hotels and motels and check if they need some. Because a lot of people will take these Bibles and bring them home with them. And I don't call it stealing. I call it relocating. So we replace them. And these are the military Bibles. Now, these Bibles, we received a testimony about this one, or these Bibles. It said this young man, he was raised in a Christian home, but his mom knew when he left he wasn't living a Christian life. And he went in the army and went in war and got killed. And she was very upset. Well, when she got all his personal belongings, she found a Bible like this in it. And on the last page, it says, "My decision to receive Christ as my Savior." And he had dated it and signed it 2 days before he got killed. And I received the Bible, and probably most of the people in here know Jeremy Apsher from Faith Christian. He gave me his Bible that he signed in July the 13th of 1998. He said, "Mr. Leonard, I received that Bible and I got saved." He said, "I'd read it and I got saved." And he gave me that Bible. He said, "The Lord told me to give you that Bible." And I had been praying about getting one to bring around to show people that, you know, it does help. So, you might say, how can you help the Gideons? The most important thing is we need your prayers. We have Gideons all over the world speaking and risking their lives, especially in the Muslim countries. We had a guy from Pakistan or Indonesia come and speak to us in Jennings at the Holiday Inn. And he said in Indonesia, I think it is, it's like 90% Muslims. And he said they just came in the door one time and just took six preachers and just shot and killed them. And it's against the law over there to distribute God's word. And we have stuff from North Korea that I was reading. And even though they're starving to death and everything, their biggest request is to receive God's word. It says some of them don't have any Bibles. Some of them have portions of scriptures, a page or two. And when they can get a Bible, they claim it's read 24 hours a day. Like he would read it, then I would read it, and just passed around. And it's just read 24 hours a day. Because, you know, I read in the United States, the average home has four Bibles in every home. And we got people all over the world. There's about 7 billion people now as of 2012. And they say half of them have never heard the name of Jesus. I read a thing just a while ago in Tokyo. Almost all the kids in Tokyo have never even heard the name Jesus. And and over here in the United States, we're so blessed. And I know I went to Honduras 4 years in a row with Brother Farley and them, and people would line up to get God's word. And over here, they're just not interested in it. And that's the most important thing we need is your prayers. And then it comes down to finances. A Bible like this is $1.25. That's less than a large cup of coffee. You can't buy a cup of coffee anywhere for $1.25. And this right here, for $1.25, it can mean somebody in heaven for eternity. If they can receive it, and read it and believe it, it could mean eternity in heaven for $1.25. And one of these days, I read it says, when we get to heaven, we'll know all things. So you might be in heaven and somebody will walk up to you and say, thank you for giving because you gave. I'm here. And, you know, you never know what impact God's word will have, because the Gideons are in 197 different countries and 99 different languages. And last year we distributed 79 million Bibles. I was talking to Brother Barry Thompson that owns KJN. He said, since the Gideons have been started, there's about 115 years, we have given 1.5 billion Bibles the Gideons have distributed wherever the countries that we're in. And every once in a while, once a month, we get reports with testimonies, testimony after testimony of people getting saved. And I went last Sunday and spoke at the first church I had ever went to in my life when I was 5 years old. And I told Brother Austin Spells, the pastor, I said, you know, I never thought that I would stand here and one day speak to this church. And when I first joined the Gideons, I didn't think I could stand here and do this. And Brother Barry Thompson told me, he said, Leonard, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the call. And I get so nervous sometimes. If it wouldn't be for Gail praying for me, I don't know if I could. Because it's just, I've gotten so much that I would actually get sick, you know, for just nerves. I want to do so well, you know. I want to read this. It says, would you be thinking about buying a New Testament if your daily income were only $3.92 a day? It says half of the world, that's what they make. Your foreign countries, that's a good day's rate. You got to spend half of it on food. It says there are at least 36 organizations fighting world hunger, and many more addressing physical needs so prevalent today. But there is only one organization devoted entirely to sharing God's word with lost men, women, and children all around the world, the Gideons International. It is hard to fathom that, but almost 1 billion people make less money each day than what it costs to print and distribute one Gideon New Testament. They need to spend half of their income on food alone. Many probably have never seen a Bible or New Testament. These people depend on us to bring them God's word and to share with them how to find eternal hope and joy through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Whatever amount you give, rest assured that it will be used in its entirety for the printing and placement of scripture in those international outreaches. Countries desperately needing financial help to receive God's word. Of course, every donation is tax deductible. But another thing, as a Gideon, all the monies that we pick up in these churches, 100% of it goes for the Gideon. As a Gideon, when I've traveled anywhere in the state, I have to pay my gas, my food. If I need to spend the night, I have to pay everything myself. None of it comes out of the money that we receive in these churches. So these three items that I showed you a while ago, I'll tell you what they have in common. What they have in common, it depends whose hands they're in. Okay, these three nails in my hands, I can start to build a barn or a house or something. But when they were put in Jesus' hands and his blood was shed, it can bring salvation to anybody in the world that wants to accept it. This golf ball in my hands is worth $2. If you could put this in Tiger Woods or Arnold Palmer's hands, they'll make millions of dollars with this same golf ball. And this Bible in my hands is worth $1.25. If we can get this Bible in the right hand somewhere in the world, it could mean eternity in heaven for whoever receives it and accepts Jesus as their personal Savior. Thank you.
Let's pray for you.
Well, would you just stretch forth your hand this way? Let's pray for them. Father, Lord, I thank you for Mr. Leonard and the representative of the Gideons. And Lord God, I pray that your anointing and your presence would be evident upon his life. Lord God, as he travels from church to church sharing what they're doing, that Father, you would prick the people's hearts, Lord God, and you would do a mighty work in their lives, Lord. Father, help the Gideons to distribute more Bibles than ever before this year, Lord God, would be a record year. And Father, that as it's being distributed, that it would penetrate the hearts of the people. And the anointing from the Bible would draw the people to read it and accept you as Savior. Father, Lord, use this ministry mightily, more than ever before, Father, and be with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing this morning. Amen. Did a great job. Great job. Thank you. You know, it's so interesting to see, you know, what God is doing around the world. I mean, around the world, God's moving by the Holy Spirit, people. I know we see an influx of demonic spirits and demonized things that are happening all over. All you have to do is get on the internet and you'll see, read some news stories and you'll find out how horrible things are out there. I mean, it's bad. But also, we can read in the Word of God and we can hear stories about how God is moving, how God is penetrating the hearts of the people, how God is drawing people unto Him, and how the church is becoming a spotless church in the eyes of Him as we keep our faith in Him. So, you know, continue to pray for them. And you know, I know you're probably thinking, well, y'all not going to pick up an offering for the Gideons. Well, you know, what I like to do is, what we do is we just give a check to them from the church. Because, you know, I don't like to tax the people more than what God says to do. And so in doing that, you know, God knows what their needs are and God will meet the needs of the church. And so from your tithe and offerings, you are giving to them and the Gideon. So I appreciate that in what you're doing. I mean, if you would, please turn to Exodus. To the book of Exodus. Let's take our Bibles and let's make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to be talking about, and I know it's coming from Exodus, and I know I preached from Exodus many a times, about how God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. But what I'm going to emphasize this morning is to go forward with God. Going forward with God. Going forward with God. We know in Exodus 15, and we'll read it in a few minutes. But we know in Exodus, you know, the background. We know that the children of Israel were in bondage for many, 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 many years. I mean, they were in bondage. Can you imagine? I often think God's people were in bondage. But they were in bondage to the Egyptians, and the Egyptians used them as slaves. They made them make everything they needed. They made them build everything they needed. I mean, they paid them zero. They didn't get a thing. But it says that one day God brought on the deliverer called Moses. God chose this man. God raised him up. God had to do a mighty work in Moses to get him ready to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And it says that he went before Pharaoh and he says, "Let my people go." Moses wasn't mixing words with anybody. He went up to Pharaoh and said, "Let me tell you this." Now he went humbly, but he said, "Let my people go," which God was saying, his people. And it says that Pharaoh, you know, tried to say, "Well, you can go and sacrifice you and whoever, and but you'll have to come back." And he said, "Oh, no, 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 no. We're not doing that. You let my people go." And it says, through the events of time, that plagues came upon the Pharaoh and his armies and his people. You know, plagues came in. There was two different kind of plagues. And in the end, we know that the children of Israel marched out of Egypt, marched out, and they were going to a place called the Promised Land, which nobody knew where it was, not even Moses. They just had to follow God. Going forward with God. Going forward with God. It says on their first event coming out of Egypt, they get to a place where there's the Red Sea. We know there's mountains on either side. And there's the Egyptian army coming after them. Now, you know, that's the kind of God we serve. That will bring his people out and bring them to a place where they can't do anything. And that's just like God in our lives. That he will bring us to a place that we cannot look back anymore. That we cannot look to the left or even to the right anymore. And we have to look forward. You know, God, and I've often thought of this, when they got to the Red Sea and God told Moses, "Just point your rod and believe." And he pointed his rod and we know the Red Sea opened up. But do you know that God could have told Moses to turn to the left and point to the mountain and the mountain could have split wide open to the left? Or he could have said, "Look, turn to the right. There's another mountain. Point your rod and let's see what I'm going to do." Or he could have said this. "Turn all of Egypt, all of the Israelites and face the enemy. And Moses, point your rod and see what I'm going to do." He could have done that if he wanted to. But you see, the God that you and I serve never looks back. He's always looking forward because he's a forward God. And what was in front of them was the Red Sea. And he said, "Point it and you'll see what I'm going to do." And we know the story. We know, you know, when he pointed it, the sea opened up. There was dry land and they started to walk across going where? To the Promised Land. Because you see, God has something promised for each and every one of us. God has something promised for us. As we serve him, he's saying, "Joe, go forward." He doesn't say take a left, take a right, or even retreat back. Because you see, the devil will make things come up in our lives, bombard the mind, make events happen on the outside of us. They'll try to make us, instead of looking to God and looking to the blessings of God and looking to what he can do, we often want to retreat and say, "Lord, I can't do it." And so we try to turn around and go backwards, not realizing that God never says turn around. He always says, "Look forward, look forward." He's a forward God. Look forward to what God's going to do. And even when the enemy, champion, she raises her hands every time when I say champion. Praise God. Praise God, huh? See, even my granddaughter can stop me from preaching. My God. That's love. That, you got it, Marie. That's love. My Lord. My Lord. Well, it's time to go home, y'all. No. No. But looking forward to what God can do in each one of our lives, even when the enemy comes in like a flood, we cannot retreat back. Because this is what, see, God is saying, Joe, come. And I'll use myself as an example. And I have to take another step in believing what God wants for the church, for me individually, for my family. But I can never turn back. Now, we know the story. They got to the other side and God blessed and God did all kinds of stuff. You know, going to another story, but we'll come back to this. You remember when God told Abraham with Lot that they were to come out of this city of Sodom and Gomorrah? And what did he tell them would happen? He said, I will destroy the city. I mean, that's some hot words there, destroying. He said, because there's not 10 righteous people that I can find, I will destroy. Remember, Abraham got Judah down to 10. I mean, that's Abraham's good, huh? God, my Lord, we need to take note of him. Couldn't find 10. And so Abraham went and they did all that and they told Lot and his wife and their family to come out. And he gave them a scripture, or the scripture says that the instructions was, when you are coming out of that city, do not turn and look back. Now that was directly from God telling Lot, his wife, and their families, do not turn and look back. And when they were coming out of the city, we know one turned. You might say, well, why did she turn? She was looking back at the things she loved. She was looking back at her past. She was looking back at the things that happened years ago there. But God told them, do not turn, because there was some kind of grip that would happen to their heart and would draw them back to the evil. Because wasn't that an evil place? Just read it. It's evil. She turned back, and it says that she turned into a pillar of salt, ever to be lost for eternity. Ever. You might say, well, did she go to hell? Well, definitely she did. She disobeyed God. That's sin. And she turned into a pillar of salt. But she turned back. So you see, we are to ever look forward and never to turn back. Never to turn back. Looking forward in all that God has for us. Don't turn back. Don't look. Don't think. And, you know, I know, you know, sometimes it's good to reminisce about the past. You know, oh, man, the good old days, you know. But and then we say, yeah, the good old days, but we don't want to leave our air conditions. We don't want to leave our cell phones. We don't want to leave our nice vehicles. I mean, you know, that's okay. I mean, you know, but we have the good old days, though, back there. We don't want to leave our washing machine and dryer, you know, that. You know, that's just so good. We don't want the washboard anymore, you know. And that's not bad. I mean, but you see, we never should look to the past as far as our spirituality. But we should always look to forward. Lord, where are you going today? Because you see, when we look back spiritually and we say, well, you know, I don't know if I want to go a little further with God. I don't know if I want to go a little further with him. I don't know if I want to take this step of faith in him and do that. You might say, well, Pastor, do you struggle with that? I do too. It's hard, some things that God tells me. It's very hard. Struggle with it, pray about it, pray about it, pray about it. Say, sometimes I'll even say, Lord, I don't want to. I can't take it. But then you come back and you say, Lord, forgive me. And you get back on track. And he knows our hearts. But you see, God is a forward God. Forward, forward. And you know, He will do everything possible to draw us by His Spirit unto Him. Drawing us by the Holy Spirit. Drawing us by the Holy Spirit. Take that scripture up and we'll come back to it. But I want you to go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. It says, His brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Next verse. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Go back to 13, please. Forgetting those things which are behind. Don't look back, people. Look, honestly, every one of us could raise our hands, raise our feet. We've all done things that we regret, huh? Let's face it. Every one of us, every one of us, to the most righteous person today, to the most evil person today, everyone has done things that they regret and they feel bad for. But the Apostle Paul is saying, forget those things that are behind. That what he's trying to tell us is that, look, Joe, look forward to what I'm going to do. And you see, we need to forget those things. Not that. And I know that's hard because we have a computer up here that remembers. I mean, just one word, one saying, one thinking. I mean, we remember things. But you see, we got to forget the past of the evil part, of the disobedience to God. And we need to look forward into what He has for us in the future, the blessings and the anointing and what He wants to do in us and through us. Letting God move in us. Because you see, we often forget when we go to God with grief and agony upon our hearts. But when we go to Him and ask for forgiveness, that He forgives us and remembers it no more. I mean, doesn't that boggle your mind? That just yesterday, the evil thought or the evil deed that was done, and we submitted to it. But then we got on our knees, or we were driving in the conviction of the Holy Ghost. And we said, oh, Father, forgive me. I'm so sorry. That when you wake up this morning, the Father remembers it no more. My God, that's a shout. That He remembers it no more. Now, the results of certain circumstances we might have to pay for, whatever. But He remembers it no more and forgives us and cleanses our hearts like we've never done any evil in His sight or to anyone. That He cleanses our hearts and forgives us. God wants us to go forward as Christians, forward toward in our families, forward as a church. God wants us to look forward or go forward. In Exodus, look at chapter 14, verse 15 now. It says this, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore cry thou unto me, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. The children of Israel were thinking about not going forward into the promised land. They wanted to stay behind. They wanted to go back to Egypt and eat the garlics and the leeks and all that stuff. Sometimes we forget the bondage that we were in. Sometimes we forget how we were in bondage to the enemy and how he has stolen from us. And we think about even turning back a little bit. But God says, never look back. We should never be like Lot's wife in looking back. But we should always be towards looking towards God and asking God to move in us and through us. Looking forward to the things that God has ahead for us. The great things, my God. I know sometimes in the mess of things, the mess of living in the world and the things that are going on, sometimes we can't think logically into the future. But we have to remember this. Our God doesn't have drama and mess going on in His life. He's the God of the universe. He has pinned down what He has in the future for us. He has made it come about if we will obey Him. And so He has planned great things in the future as we look forward to Him and what He will do in our hearts and in our lives as we trust in Him. Go forward. As we go forward with God, we need to remember this. He will protect us. It's scary sometimes, huh? To take another step. You don't know how scared Jelaine and I were when we came to this place. Not talking about the people, just scary to branch out. It's like you have to leave the nest, you know. You know, like the little bird that doesn't want to leave the nest? And the mama said, it's time to fly. And pushing them out. But also we need to remember, as God speaks to our hearts, as God puts things in you, that He will protect you and take the step. God promises us His protection as we go forward. God always gives His people the protection we need. The children of Israel did not realize how much God was protecting them. We can read in Exodus where it talks about God had an angel in front and the angel in back of the children of Israel. My God, y'all. I was reading a story about protection. Billy Graham gave this story. When I read something from Billy Graham, I know it's truth. Sometimes you read things and you're going, oh, I don't know about that, you know. But I know there's some people that have the quality of that you can believe them. Billy Graham shared this story one day as he was preaching. He was talking to a missionary. This missionary he went to the islands in the South Pacific. And him and his wife were there. And they had the headquarters and they had built this home and they were rescuing people and bringing people to the knowledge of God. But they had certain tribal people, chief and the people, some of them, that did not like them. That's like today. Some people can't stand Christians, born again Christians, because it sheds light on their sin. That's okay. But it says that they preached the gospel and was winning people to the knowledge of the Lord, and they didn't like it. One day during the night, or it was during the night, they could hear things that were going on outside, and they knew that probably the attack from this tribe was coming. So the guy and his wife got up and just started praying. Have you ever been in that place? You don't know what to do but pray? That's the best thing to do. That's the best thing to do. When you don't know what to do, you look up and you say, Father, help me. Lord, just help me. And it seems like the Spirit of the Lord just comes in and just helps His people. Because you see, He says that He sticks closer than a brother. That He's there to help us. And it says as they were praying and they stayed up all night and they could hear noises going on. And you know, at night, and especially, you know, we have lights all over even at night. But in these countries, foreign countries, they don't have the electricity stuff like we have. So when it gets dark, it gets dark. And you can't see anything. And they could hear noises and they didn't know what was happening. They didn't realize, they didn't know if they would even see the next day. But they kept praying and they kept asking God to protect them. They kept asking God to move upon the situation. And when daylight came, They opened the door, one of them, and they looked through the window, and they could see the tribal people all around them, but they were leaving. They were just leaving. And they thought, what's going on? Well, a year or so later, the chief gets saved because they're praying for him. And the missionary turns to the chief after a while and says, I need to ask you about something. You remember the day that y'all came and y'all surrounded our home or the headquarters? And y'all were ready to attack us and kill us? Why did y'all leave? And the chief turns to him and kind of startled, thinking, well, I thought you would know the answer. Well, he turns to him and he says, well, all those men you had, all those men, we knew with those swords in their hands, we knew we had, and they were tall and big, we knew we could not defeat them. And the missionary turns to the chief and says, it was only my wife and I. The power of what God can do. We know God has brought protection upon that man and his wife. And the angels came around and were surrounded shoulder to shoulder. Huge, tall angels with swords in their hands, ready to fight. Ready to fight. God will protect us. As we go forward with God, we don't have to worry about what the enemy is shouting and saying, because it's only evil. But all we got to do is worry about going forward with God and knowing that God is in control and that He will lead us and guide us in the right direction. I know years ago, someone called me on the phone and said, Pastor Joe. I said, yeah. Look, I just passed in front of your house. And I said, oh, good. I mean, why didn't you stop though? You know? Well, she said, I just wanted to let you know what I saw. And I said, well, what did you see? She said, I saw angels around your home. She said, my God. I said, God is the protector. And people, I'm telling you that. I'm not trying to lift up. What I'm saying is, God protects. His angels are around your home. He's around your children. He's around your husbands. He's around your wives. He's around you. And as we take a step forward in the things of God, I know I'm running a little. That's Leonard's fault. That's that forward, that we need to keep going forward and not let the enemy bring destruction of any kind. That we look now, that doesn't mean we may not get discouraged. That doesn't mean things may not happen to us. But I tell you what, our faith is in God and what He can do and what He can do and what He can do. Looking forward to the things that God can make happen. You know, we often think, well, you know, the power of God, man, the power of God, which can move in a people. If we humble ourselves and pray and seek His face, the power of God, His protection. Remember, He protects you. And a lot of times we can't see it because we live in a human body and we can't see that. The veil has been taken off. But God has put angels around your home and around your family and around you. And He's protecting you from the evil one. He's protecting you from the evil one. Your God is in control. Not the enemy, not yourself, not your family. But God, the Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is in control of your home. My God, what kind of God we serve that can protect us and bring liberty and freedom to our lives. We tend to underestimate the work of God in our lives. But He is working and protecting us. Working and protecting us from the evil one. Exodus chapter 14 verse 19 and 20. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud which went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came to pass between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel that it was a cloud and a darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. I know probably each and every one of us could list numerous things of God's protection. As we move forward, God will protect you. As you move forward, God will protect you. Move forward in faith in what God wants you to do. Let God move through you and let God help you to get through all the things that He desires and wants you to do. God also provides a way. Move forward and God always provides a way. Move forward and God always will point us in the right direction. Always. I'll just say this and we'll close in a minute. The great walls of water that came crashing down to protect the children of Israel from the Egyptian soldiers. But they also came crashing down to push the children of Israel forward to the promised land. Never thought of that before, honestly. The walls came up. They walked on the other side. The walls came down, killed the Egyptians. But it pushed forward the children of Israel into the promised land. Remember, everything that comes against us pushes us forward. Pushes us forward to God, forward to the things of God. And let God use us and let God move in you and through you. Amen. You may stand, please. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would you get that song ready, Revelation song? We'll sing that in the end. Father, we thank you. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, just for a minute, I want to ask you an important question today. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You might say, well, Pastor, I don't know. Or maybe you have and you've kind of looked back too much. And you need to recommit. If you've not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you'd like to, would you please just raise your hand and we'll pray with you. I see your hand. Thank you. I see it. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Amen. Amen. Let's all pray this prayer together, okay? As someone has raised their hand. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. And I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again. And you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I accept you as the Lord of my life, that you will lead me and you will guide me and you will help me. I accept you as the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Remember this. Your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know what's ironic? That's what Jelaine's teaching on with the children today, the Lamb's Book of Life. I thought, oh, y'all going to have a good time. Your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I mean, you can go ahead and start.